Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see you this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day morning. And boy, do we have a reason to be celebrating today, right? Has everybody seen that Pastor Kurt is in the house? Maybe. Praise the Lord. He's back today. And we are looking forward very much so to hearing from Pastor Kurt this morning. And as somebody mentioned to me just a minute ago, he says, probably going to be a good message. He's had 5 weeks to work on it. So, but we're extremely grateful that he is able to return and bring to us the message this morning. Welcome, if you're visiting with us. Glad to have you here this morning. And if you did receive a visitor packet, you'll find a little blue card in there to just give us a little more information about yourself. Drop in the offering plate as it goes by, and we'll be happy to pray for you and help you in whatever whatever way we can. A couple other health updates just to get everybody on the same page. We're still praying for Dave and Yvonne Nesporik. Yvonne was in the hospital for a bit, but she was back home, and she can stay at home as long as her oxygen levels stay above 90, otherwise it's back to the hospital. But so far, so good. And she says if things don't improve, that she may have to call the America Frontline doctors and get a prescription for the medicine. Really, though, her heart is with those that have to suffer through COVID by themselves. And it is kind of an isolated thing when you go in and you're hospitalized with COVID. You can't have any visitors, so. But she knows that, you know, God is with her in all the way, but she really feels for those that don't know Christ as their Savior. And they just, Dave and Yvonne, want you to know that they love you guys, and they're praying for you, and they appreciate your prayers as well. Al and Marcia Shervin, with Al's deteriorating medical condition, they have a lot more medical staff that's coming and going now. And so they don't really want any drop-in visitors at this point. But if you would like to visit Alan Marcia, please call ahead and spend some time with them. Nally's, I guess Grace did test positive for COVID. I understand most of the symptoms are fairly mild, but yet they have to do the quarantine protocol. So keep praying for the Nally's. All right, let's move to the announcements section tonight. Really important for all you kids and adults as well. It's our evening adult children's Christmas program. They've been practicing very hard, and they'll be putting on the play this evening at 6 p.m. I'm sure the kids need to be here before that. I don't know. Carol?
Yes, they do.
Any time specific?
Between 5:30 and quarter to 6.
Between 5:30 and quarter to 6, kids, if you could be back tonight, and young adults as well. And this morning, we'll be running through a full dress rehearsal this morning. So again, the children and young adults will need the sanctuary this morning for the Sunday school hour, and adults will be back downstairs again. So keep that in mind. There's still time for you to give gifts to the residents of Sunny Ridge. These little green flyers, if you're wondering what type of gifts that they're looking for, those flyers are on the back table right outside the doors. But we'll be accepting the gifts until December 15th. And there is a box right underneath the book table out there that you can put your unwrapped gifts in. So you don't even have to wrap them. Just buy something that's on the list, pop it in there, and you'll brighten the Christmas time for the Sunny Ridge residents. This coming Tuesday, we do have the men's breakfast at the family restaurant at 8:30. The witnessing support group, however, at night is not going to work out. There's a leadership team meeting that night, so and with other scheduling conflicts, we're just not able to make that work. So no witnessing support group this Tuesday. If you would like one of these gorgeous calendars that were donated by someone here at Emmanuel Bible Church, there's a little table in the back. Very beautiful pictures in there. There is God's attributes are on the back. There's a reading plan to read through the Bible. They're very nice. But there is a limited supply back there, so if you would like one of those calendars, pick one of those up. They are free, a gift to you. Our family of the week this morning is Greg and Karen Lehman, and they are very thankful for God's protection and provision during this time. They're thankful for America's frontline doctors and the ability to get the hydroxychloroquine. It's going to do better on that. Hydroxychloroquine or Quinn. It's something like that. It's good, though. Yeah, just wait till we get to the Malawi and the other places that are hard to pronounce. But they're very happy for to be on that as a preventative, and they would recommend that, you know, if anybody has symptoms or beginning to suffer in the COVID thing, that you call right away and get that going, or, you know, even if you're in a high-risk group, to go on it ahead of time. But they have asked for prayer that God would continue to guide their son Nathan and his wife Melissa. Nothing specific is happening with them, but just continue on with guiding and directing. And then also for Matt and Julie, who have some things that are taking place in their life, including Matt is starting a new job in Colorado Springs at MediShare, and he'll be starting that job tomorrow. And, of course, working remotely to start with, but they eventually want to get settled over in Colorado Springs before April time frame, because that is when Julie is due. So they have another baby on the way, and we'll just pray that everything would work out for that. Our missionary of the week this morning, Hope Sharp, and she is almost retired from her ministry out in Papua New Guinea, but she's been very busy working 40 to 50 hours on her computer the last 6 months to get some of the literature taken care of for the people of New Guinea. But she's taking a little break right now just to get some health things taken care of. Sometimes we neglect that. Doctor, dentist, eye doctor, those types of things. So she hopes to get back to the project soon. And she's still planning on retiring in March of 2021. But some of the prayer requests she mentioned are just for the people that are taking over her role in Papua New Guinea. There's a co-worker, Heidi, who's currently training someone to work in the finance office. And working in the finance office, they have to work with a computer. This person doesn't have a lot of computer experience, so pray that she would learn that quickly. For people to come to Christ during these troubled times we're going through, I think that is something that we can all understand. And then they have some missionaries from Malawi. They are participating in a workshop to launch them into scripture translation. So having some people that will help out with that will be of great benefit to the people of New Guinea. And for those that aren't able to be, you know, those that are out serving in the field that aren't able to be with their families at this time. And lastly, this morning, our persecuted saint, four Christian men in Indonesia were killed in a brutal attack. So be praying for their families. Violence surfaced in an Indonesian community in the central Sulawesi province on Friday morning, November 27, when Islamic extremists viciously attacked believers in Lemban Tanga, a remote Christian village. In one day, four men, all leaders of families in the small community, were dead. Armed with knives and guns, 8 to 10 men from the Islamic terrorist group East Indonesia Mujahideen entered the village around 8 a.m. They torched and destroyed 6 homes, a makeshift church, and a Salvation Army outpost, leaving 13 families grieving and traumatized. So we'll pray for our brothers and sisters in Indonesia and the believers in this province in Tonga. We wanted to give Pastor Kurt all his energy so he could bring the message this morning, so I will lead us this morning in the pastoral prayer. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to be in your house this morning, to be among those of like precious faith, Lord. Lord, our hearts are filled with joy that our pastor is able to join us again this morning and that he is slowly regaining his strength, Lord. Father, he's still having difficulties getting the sleep schedule back into swing, Lord, so we know that this morning he's not operating on a full night's rest, Lord. But Father, you have burdened this man with being in this pulpit and shepherding this flock. So we thank you, Lord, for your provision, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit would uphold him this morning, give him the strength that he needs this morning, and continue to strengthen him, Lord. Father, we pray for those that are hurting and isolated and unable to be with us this morning. We think of David and Yvonne, Lord, and Father, just ask that you would intervene mightily in their lives, Lord. Place your healing hand upon them and bring them back to full strength and health. And Lord, for our brother and sister, Al and Marcia, Father, our hearts just are saddened, Lord, as we watch this young couple go through this, Lord, and for Al, who has been so active over so many years, and to have this deteriorating condition. Father, we just pray for them and pray that you would be their peace and their joy. Lord, this morning we want to bring before you our family of the week for Greg and Karen. Lord, we are so delighted to have them a part of this body of believers, Lord. We thank you for their ministry here. For Greg's teaching and occasional preaching, Lord, and song leading, and for Karen as she works with the choir and other things behind the scenes, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for them and for your provisions to them, Lord. Thankful that they have so far been kept out of the COVID path, Lord, and they are thankful for groups like America's Frontline Doctors, Lord, that are standing up and willing to prescribe the needed medications to steer clear of COVID. Father, we just pray for them and their extended family, Lord, for Nathan and Melissa, that you would just continue to guide and direct in their lives, and Lord, for Matt and Julia. Julie, Lord, as they are in the midst of a disruptive thing in their life, Lord, a new job, the stresses and strains of that, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the provision. That's an exciting time. And we just pray, Lord, tomorrow that you would be with Matt as he begins his work there remotely. Father, we pray that you will just guide and direct them, help them to find a home, help them to find a doctor, Lord, that they will be comfortable with. And Father, that this would be able to be accomplished, Lord, of course, in your perfect timeline, but in our finite minds, Lord, we really pray that it would be done before April so that they would be all settled when the baby arrives. So, Father, we just look forward to how you're going to guide and direct in their lives. And again, we thank you for Greg and Karen and their servants' hearts here at Emmanuel Bible Church. Father, we thank you for Hope Sharp and her many, many years of service to Papua New Guinea. And Father, for her tireless translation work and how she has taken on different responsibilities of late. And Lord, now as she looks to transition out of that role and into the next phase of her life, Lord, we just pray for replacement workers that would be able to get trained for this lady that will be taking over the finances piece of it, Lord, that you would just grant her wisdom and understanding of how to interact with the programs and the computer and to be an effective tool for you, Lord, for your honor and glory. Lord, we pray for these missionary groups that are working on translation, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would give them insight as well into the language barriers. And Father, that your word would be accurately translated. And Lord, that it would bring honor and glory to you as well. And for those serving in many different fields, Lord, that you would just be with them during the holiday season. And Father, great is their reward, Lord, for the many, many hours of spreading the gospel message to the corners of the world. Father, we thank you for those that are willing to go. And Father, for all of us, that we should be lights where we are and beacons of hope in this dark world, to draw people to yourself. Father, we think of those individuals in the Tonga, in the small province, Lord, a Christian community in Indonesia. Lord, our hearts are with them. The families that are left behind after these men were brutally killed, some of them right in front of their families by hideous means, Lord. Father, we know that your word says in this world we will suffer persecution, Lord, but certainly there are those that suffer greatly. Father, we pray that our brothers and sisters there would be comforted knowing that they are standing for truth and standing for the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we pray that you would be their comfort as they mourn the loss of their husbands and father. Lord, that and we also pray for those that did the persecuting, Lord, that they would have their eyes open, their spiritual eyes open, and that they would indeed understand that you love them. You love them as well, even though they are violent and they are wicked, they are loved by you. And if they turn from their wicked ways and ask you to be Lord and Savior of their life, they too can have a personal relationship with you. So, Father, we thank you that you have been gracious to us, and we thank you for this time of the year that we remember your Son, the Lord Jesus, coming to this earth and being born in the humble manger, Lord. Father, just to live a sinless life and then to die, offer himself on the cross for our sins, Lord. Sometimes, Father, the thought is just overwhelming, but we thank you. We thank you that the Lord Jesus did not stay on the cross, but that he did rose again. And we serve a living Savior. And this morning, we want to worship him and praise his holy name. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Go tell it on the mountain. Number 258 in your hymnals, please. 258, and let's stand and sing together. Go tell it on the mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and brought us God's salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
259, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er their flocks by night, God with man is now residing, yonder shine the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplation, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, ye have heard his natal star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Though an infant now we view him, he will share his Father's throne. Gather all the nations to him, every knee shall then bow down. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Thank you. May be seated. Let us pray. Father in heaven, We have come to worship in you alone. No one else do we lift up and praise and thank and worship but you. And we thank and praise you for this day that you have given us, that we can gather in Jesus' name and hear your word proclaim and sing praises unto your holy name. Father, we thank you for this time of ministry and this time of blessing that we can give to you as you gave the very best in your Son. Take these offerings and these gifts and use them for your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You please stand with me. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. We'll be starting in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in a battle of tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it, with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
In your bulletins, sing we the song of Emmanuel. So take your bulletins, please. Hopefully you have one, so that we can sing we the song of Emmanuel.
sing we the song of Emmanuel. This the Christ who was foretold. Oh, in the shadows of Bethlehem, promised of dawn, now its eyes behold. God most high in a manger laid, lift your voices and now proclaim, great and glorious love has come to us, joy now with the host of heaven. Come we to welcome Emmanuel, King who came with no crown or throne. Helpless he lay in the midst of all, Maker of Mary, now Mary's son. Oh, what wisdom to save us all, shepherds, sages before him fall. Grace and majesty, what humility, come on bended knee, adore him. Go spread the news of Emmanuel, joy and peace for the weary heart. Lift up your head, for your King is come. Sing, for the light overwhelmed the dark. Glory shining for all to see. Hope alive, let the anthem sing. God has made a way, he will have the praise. Tell the world his name is Jesus.
Thank you. May be seated. And to see our pastor come up the aisle. Oh, thank God.
Oh, now I'm on, huh? All right, so just real quick, start over. Lois, I'm just saying hello to everybody. In a minute, I'll say hello to everybody who's here. But, you know, Lois, it's been a while. Miss you. Saw the Shervins yesterday. We're praying for you. Al's not good. You know that. Just keep praying for him. The Nesporix, Yvonne already has asthma, and then she does have corona, and has contracted pneumonia as well. So please be praying for her. Dave has it as well. And, you know, of course, he's just overcome cancer and so forth. So pray for them. You know, the laws, Jeremy just got done out of surgery recently. So Jeremy, Ingrid, praying for you. Love you. Jack, Betty, the Bellins, oh my, who am I forgetting? This is bad. I know I'm forgetting folks. So what's that? Nally's Grace, we're praying for you. Grace is the last one now. Their whole family's had it, so Grace is the last one, and she'll be through it here soon. But whoever else I'm forgetting, I apologize. But now, to all of you, it is really good to be back. It's not easy to be gone. As a pastor, and for 3 weeks, I really couldn't do anything. I mean, I couldn't even read. It was bad. And I'm still fatigued, really fatigued. But I started studying about 2 weeks ago, and I'm back up to, you know, 5 to 6 hours a day. So that's, you know, that's good. I can do that much. But it's crazy what you're sitting and you're thinking, oh, I've got to go do something, and I can't get up. You know, it's just like, ah. So keep praying for me. I'm not You know, I don't normally talk about myself and things like that, but it's for real, and I really do need strength, so do pray for me in the weeks ahead that I can regain that sense of normalcy. All right, well, we're going to be tracking a package this morning. We are going to be talking about the ultimate Christmas gift, and that is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you think about it like this, and I'm not trying to be cute, I think this is a good way to pull this message together. If you think about it like this, the Old Testament is a story of tracking that gift. That's really what it is. The Old Testament, there's much more to it, but the Old Testament is a long series of books, 39 of them in total, that are tracking a package, the ultimate gift, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can, of course, not do full justice to that story today, okay? But we're going to take a little part of that story, and we're going to track the package at least through part of the Old Testament. And then this week, we're going to stop at Isaiah 9:6. And then next week, we're going to track the package the rest of the way to the delivery of it. So today, we'll start in Genesis and end in Isaiah 9:6. Next week, we'll start in Isaiah 7:14 and end in Matthew chapter 1. You know, when you have preached pretty much most of, if not all of, the texts on Christmas over the years, you're thinking of, okay, how can we talk about the precious baby in a way that I haven't at least maybe fully done it before? And this is how we will talk about our Lord Jesus Christ's birth today. So let's trace the delivery of the ultimate Christmas gift. Our Lord, today, help me, give me strength, help me to focus in my mind, help, give me the energy to deliver this wonderful message, this story of our Lord Jesus Christ with energy. Use this message today in the lives of those who are here. Lord, I don't know all who's here and what the needs are. You do, and so we pray that you will meet those needs through this message, your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So what are the details of the shipment? We're going to look at 11 details of this shipment from the Old Testament here in a minute. Do you know that right now Americans are spending more than $3 billion per day on ordering gifts, or, you know, packages? Most of those are for Christmas. The 2018 is the latest package total that I could find, and in the year 2018, which was in that year a record year, 2.5 billion packages were ordered over the Christmas season. Okay, this year is going to top that. They don't even have an estimate, at least I couldn't find one, on how much it will top it, but it looks like it's going to top it significantly. Americans love, do we not? Me too, giving and receiving gifts. And the reason that we do it really is, if you think about it, it really does trace back to the ultimate gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I place an order, I don't track it. Or you, maybe you do. I don't care. You know, I place an order. I always go for the free shipping. I don't care how long it takes. I'm cheap. So, you know, I'm not going to spend money for second day, or unless it's an emergency of some kind. Forget it. You know, I'm going to take the, you know, the book ship rate, free, whatever it is. You know, some of you, maybe you track the package. And the amazing thing about this Old Testament texts, these Old Testament texts this morning, is that we really are reading the details of the shipment. So if you go in and you know, order something, let's say from Amazon or the Walmart, you know, site or whatever, you can find all kinds of information about the details of the order. Well, let's look today at the details of the order that the Lord placed in the Old Testament. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I don't think I'm going to have you turn to all of these. You're welcome to, of course. But we'll start in Genesis 3:15 with the plan to order the package. Here's what God told Adam and Eve after the sin in the garden. God said this: I will put enmity between you and the woman. Enmity, anger, problems, war, battle. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. What was this? This was a promise of God to Eve primarily, okay, right after the discussion of the results of the sin, the consequences, Eve's going to have pain in childbirth, so forth. He gives her this promise that her child is going to be the Messiah who will defeat and destroy the serpent who deceived her. Now, in Eve's mind, what does that mean? When God begins to plan the order here, as he announces that it's going to come, what goes through Eve's mind? She is thinking that one of her own sons that she will bear will be this Messiah. And so now, second detail about the package that we're tracking is that there's confusion about the order. Okay? Confusion about place in the order. God's not confused, but Eve and Adam sure are. For what happens in chapter 4, right after the promise, we're talking some years, but she bears Cain, Abel, they grow up. She's not sure which one of them the Messiah will be, but it's got to be one of them. And then what happens? Well, we know Cain kills Abel, that's sin, it's grievous. And so Eve is thinking, well, maybe it'll be one of my other children. But it doesn't happen. There's confusion. It's just like an order that Maria made about a week and a half ago. She placed an order for a non-toxic cleaning chemical, and she ordered a number of the bottles, and she ordered it on the Walmart.com website, but it was a third party, so when she got it, it wasn't what she thought she was ordering, and there's something wrong with the order, and so she called the company and said, I'd like to return it, and they said, well, you have to go to Walmart to return it, and then she went to Walmart with the box to return it, and they said, no, we can't take it, you have to do it through the company, and so it's one of those, like, oh, no, how do you deal with that? Well, you know what, there can be confusion with the order, and there sure was a lot of confusion back in the time of Adam and Eve about how the package was going to arrive. Now turn to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. So, they're going along. Multiple generations have now been born. Some have died. And we come to a really awful verse. Chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 5. You have the sons of men marrying the sons of God, rather, marrying the daughters of men. There are different interpretations on that. Some think the sons of God are fallen angels who are intermarrying with human women. I personally think it's the descendants of Seth who are intermarrying with the women of tribes, if you will, who have completely left the worship of God. Whatever your interpretation of this text is, one thing is very clear. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. When he looked at the results of the lives cumulatively of humanity on the earth, it grieved him. And the word sorry is a way, obviously God knew before he created what was going to happen, but it's a way to communicate to us that God's heart was grieved over the evil intentions of their heart. Now look at these words. What was God seeing when he looked at man on the earth? That their thoughts were evil, and in the King James it says only evil continually. So, when I'm thinking of ordering a package, I normally don't order next day, not even, 2-day shipping, but I'm thinking, when you read Genesis 6:5, I'm asking the question, Should we ship the package next day? Maybe we need Jesus right now. The Messiah, shouldn't he come? But that wasn't God's plan. So let's keep tracking the order. In the fourth detail about the order, the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming ultimate gift who would take away the sins of mankind, we see the shipper being chosen. Just like we will have to choose sometimes, okay, are we going USPS? Are we going to go UPS, FedEx, DHL, which, or one of the other carriers? Which one of the shippers are we going to choose? And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we see that God does choose one particular, if you will, allow me this, you know, one particular shipper. That is, one particular man and his offspring, and that is none other, of course, than Abraham. So God selected the family or the shipper in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, where God made a covenant with Abraham. But then as we move on to Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, and really the rest of the book of Genesis, we see the precarious nature of the shipment. That is that the shipment could be damaged, lost. It's as if the coming Messiah is hanging by a thread. And that's really what Genesis is doing, is showing us how close to the edge this promise of Genesis chapter 3:15 really is. So in Genesis chapter 16, I think we need to ask the question, I think this is what Genesis is doing, can we even trust the shipper? What do we mean? Well, in verses 1 through 4 of that chapter, what does Abraham do? He's been told by the Lord that he would bear a son. But years go by, 10 years or so, maybe a little more, and he's praying and nothing's happening. Sarah by now is getting old. He is getting old. They're beyond the years of normal childbirth by quite a lot. And so Abraham goes his own way. Abraham chooses another woman, has Ishmael through her, not only Ishmael ultimately through multiple wives, but he has Ishmael. This was not God's plan. The plan was not for the Messiah to come through another woman, but through Sarah. And so we ask the question, can we really trust the one whom God has chosen? Maybe not a reliable shipper. Maybe not. Was God wise? Of course he was. You know, in making the choice. And so then we skip forward to Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2 and following, where we see that the shipper himself proves reliable. That is Abraham. When asked after now, many years, being blessed through Sarah with Isaac, God asks him, will you follow me? You've not proven yourself to be real faithful in the past. Will you obey me and offer your son as a burnt offering? So think, you know, in Leviticus of the burnt offering in Leviticus chapter 1. Will you offer him completely, you know, slaughter him by slaying his throat, you know, allowing the blood, and then burning him on the altar that I will have you make on Mount Moriah for me? Will you do that? Remember, Abraham had been praying for, hoping for this son, Isaac, for how many decades? And then he finally is blessed with a son through Sarah, and now God is asking Abraham to slaughter him. Now, we know from the New Testament that in Abraham's mind, he was thinking that God was going to resurrect Isaac after the slaughter. Abraham's willing to do it. And he goes up, and of course, God isn't going to ask for a human sacrifice. And so God has prepared a ram, a lamb in the thicket. And so there is a sacrifice already waiting there, but it shows that God's choice of Abraham, of the shipper himself, was a wise choice. Now, the package then, seventh detail here, moves to the next location. What is this in Genesis 25, 21 through 23? This is pretty cool. You know, Abraham was not always the most faithful person, was he? Just like we aren't. Abraham wasn't always the most faithful person. He runs to Egypt and tells a half-truth about his wife, and that gets her into the harem of Pharaoh. And one thing after another, right? There's several major problems there that occur in Abraham's life. The Messiah, the promise, it's hanging by a thread. And then we kind of, we get to Isaac, and it's like, whew, how so? Because now Isaac can't have a child. His wife isn't conceiving, and so Isaac is in prayer, and Isaac has to wait for at least a decade. And it's the same situation Abraham was in, his father was in, but in this case, Isaac doesn't do what his father did. He instead keeps praying, and God does answer and gives, two sons. So Isaac is, the package moves to the next location, that is, through to Isaac, and here the promise is, the package is safe. All right, then we go to Genesis 27, and the package takes an interesting route. The promised Messiah, the baby who would be born to Mary, so many years into the future, takes an interesting route. And in Genesis 27, we've got the story of Esau and of Jacob and of the, could we say it like this, the wrong blessing? It's not the wrong blessing. It's God's plan all along. But the wrong blessing, it's like, okay, whoa, what is the Lord doing here? The route that this package, that the Messiah and the promise is taking, it doesn't quite seem normal. I mean, you have Jacob, who is loved by his mother. You have Esau, who is loved by his father. You have treachery and lies and deceit going on. And is that really the way the package is supposed to get there? No. And yes, at the same time, I mean, God's not condoning the deception and the lies. It didn't have to happen that way. This is human concoction. But God protects through all of the human concoction, just like he did with Abraham. He protects the promise and the package so that it does ultimately get to its destination. Christ gets to his destination, is born in Bethlehem on this earth. But right here, back in Genesis chapter 27, the package is taking a pretty interesting route. And then we go to Genesis 33, and we have to ask another question. Will the package be destroyed? Who is the package? Who is the promised seed? The Messiah, the ultimate gift, our Lord Jesus, going to come through? It is not through Esau. It is through Jacob, and Jacob's been gone a long time, serving his relative for ultimately the reward of two wives and all of the flocks and things. And he's coming back with a huge herd of animals and his wives and his children. And who does he have to face?
His brother.
I mean, what is his... he was treacherous with his brother. He was so deceitful. He stole Esau's blessing, And so it doesn't look real good. I mean, Esau's got 400 men, and Jacob doesn't have. I mean, Jacob doesn't have, a gunship or a tank or anything like that. It's serious. So, is the package going to be destroyed? I mean, is Esau going to in anger kill his brother? And I think Jacob's plan was a really wise one. The malt, the humility he showed, the offerings he gave, all of these things, very, very wise. He grew in wisdom, obviously, over the years. And the package isn't ultimately destroyed. But then, not only is there the possibility in Genesis 33 that the package would be destroyed, but then we get to the rest of the book of Genesis, 37 through 50, and we have to ask another question. Not now will the package be destroyed, but will it just be lost entirely? That's what Genesis 37 verse 1 through chapter 50 at the end is all about. The last third of the book is about the question, will the package be lost? You know, we all love the Joseph story. It's an interesting, fascinating story. You can't make it up kind of thing. It's way too rich. No one has that kind of brilliance to come up with what I think is one of the greatest stories in all of history. True story, of course. And it's strange. When you read it, if you don't know what it's doing, what's strange? The strangeness is chapters 37 and 38. I mean, you read chapter 37, and Joseph has the dream, and we you know, all the slavery, and he's thrown in the pit by his brothers and sold into slavery to Egypt and so forth. And then the very next chapter is so out of place. 37 and 39 through 50 just flow. They make total sense. What is chapter 38 doing? It just doesn't fit. Well, actually, it does fit. Very much doesn't fit. But you have to know what it's doing to understand how. So the question is the package going to be lost? It sure does look like it, and that's what 38 is. Who, don't answer, this is rhetorical, but who, chapters 37 through 50, who is it about? It's not about Joseph. You say, yes, it is. All the details are about, it's really not. Look at Genesis, you don't have to turn, but look at, you know, sometime, Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Who is that whole last third of Genesis about? It's about Judah. So in chapter 38, when Judah is wicked and faithless, and look, God, again, the package is going to be lost. It's hanging by a thread. And God says, okay, I see what will happen if it's all up to Judah here. So instead, God is going to protect and save Judah, through whom the package is coming, the ultimate gift, our Lord Jesus is coming, by means of his younger brother, Joseph. And then we come finally to Isaiah 9:6. We might want to go ahead and turn there. Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6. The details now of the shipment itself. So if you were to go in after ordering an Amazon package and look at, you'll see a whole page worth of details. Where I mean, I've only like done it once, so I don't know what all's in there. But I mean, I get bored real fast reading something like that. So, you know, I mean, there, it's going to tell you like where it's coming from when it's supposed to arrive, how much it costs. I don't know what all's in there. But there's like a page worth of information. Well, here's the page worth of information. This I'm not bored with. The page worth of information, Isaiah 9:6, that gives not the plan for the order or the confusion about the order, or should we ship the order next day or choose the shipper, etc. Not those details, but now the actual details of the shipment itself, none other than the promised child. Brief bit of background, Isaiah the prophet. All right, we know Isaiah, largest of the prophetic books, longest of the prophetic books in the Old Testament, 66 chapters. Very detailed, fairly hard to understand without some help, without some serious study. I mean, parts of it are easy, other parts are hard, especially the prophetic portions. But knowing a little bit more about the prophet himself helps us to understand the details that he talks about in 9:6 regarding the Messiah. So Who is Isaiah? Isaiah was born into a wealthy family. And I don't know if you think of him like that, but here's a man of the aristocracy. Okay. He wasn't like Amos, a farmer, okay, simple, poor. No, this man, Isaiah, was born into nobility and was wealthy. He became a prophet. In fact, a respected prophet, but a rejected prophet. Even when he's rejected, he's still respected. I think you can see those details in Isaiah, but he is ultimately rejected. Why? Why is he rejected? It's because the king doesn't like his message. His message is from God, but the king doesn't like it. Isaiah is preaching things like, don't have any foreign alliances. He's preaching against the social ills of his day. Pretty boldly, actually. And maybe the most, you know, the part of the message that gets under the skin of the king the most is the spiritual idolatry. I may, in 2 weeks when we celebrate the Lord's table here, I won't be talking about Isaiah 9:6, but I may be talking some about spiritual idolatry and worship, and why, you know, the Lord's table is so important. I still haven't decided exactly what I'm going to preach on yet, but I'm working on it. And I mean, you look at, you know, Leviticus chapters 9 and 10, and then you compare them with, let's say, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and it's just crazy. What do I mean? I mean, Leviticus 9 and 10, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, they just take a little shortcut at the very beginning of the tabernacle worship. All they do is take a little shortcut. Instead of starting the fire the way God said, they made it a little easy on themselves, went to Ma's, you know, campfire just outside the, and you know, they got their golden censer and they picked up some coals that had already been heated, a lot easier than starting the fire themselves. And they lit the first fire to God with those coals. And what did God do? Kills them both in a miraculous way. God, just like in New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira, God protects. In the inception of things, he is. God will even kill those who are not very, very precise in their obedience to him. But as time goes on, and once the model is established, we see God loosening, do we not? You say, what? I mean, look at what God allows. Look at Ezekiel. Just choose Ezekiel or Isaiah or it doesn't any of the prophets. God allows. There are things going on in Ezekiel in the temple. Okay? You know, now we're talking about before Ezekiel and is taken captive, that are so wicked, unshockingly wicked. How does God, you know, kill Nadab, Abihu, and Abihu and then allow that, right? There's spiritual idolatry going on in Isaiah's day that is sickening to think of, you know, statues being placed inside of the temple precincts. It's crazy. And so Isaiah is preaching against these things. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, now it doesn't specifically mention Isaiah, but it is talking about Isaiah. It says that the authorities, the king of Isaiah's day, put him in a hollow log and then sawed him, started the sawing and sawed the prophet Isaiah in half along with the log. Okay, that's Hebrews 11. So, you know, I mean, Isaiah's preaching no foreign alliances. Assyria, Egypt, and Babylon are off limits. Don't do it. You do that and you're going to risk the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6 about the child. Don't do the alliances. Don't intermingle. Don't intermarry like Solomon did. Political marriages, bad news. There's still a hill in Jerusalem today. It's one of the three mountains right across the Kidron from where the temple sat. There's still a mountain that is called the Mount of Offense because that's the mountain where all of Solomon's foreign wives were allowed to have their temples and idols. Still known today. Anybody from Jerusalem knows about that, right? Still. These were terrible, evil, wicked days that Isaiah was in, and he would not keep quiet. So finally, Manasseh tires of him and gets rid of him. But what does he say before he's sawn asunder? What does he say? He gives us one of the two great specific prophecies about the birth of a child. And this is the Christmas season. I mean, it is about Jesus. I mean, most of us probably have a manger scene or two or ten, you know, in your house. I bought something for my wife in Jerusalem when I was there a number of years ago as a gift. And it's a flat board. It's a manger scene, and it doesn't have gold, but it has frankincense and myrrh and a couple other things in it. And on the corner, very neat, very beautiful thing. And one of the figures got decapitated in my suitcase, in the airport. So anyway, it had been sitting in a box somewhere. And Maria finally this year glued it. And we did with it what I was hoping. We put it under the tree right in the front. So, yes, you see the presents, all the presents from me. It's really good. Anyway, you see the presents, but you know what? The center, we have a larger crash scene, but the center of the tree now, whenever you look at it, is that. It's Christ. It's the ultimate gift. We read the Christmas story every year. I want our kids to enjoy the packages, but I want them to remember why. It's about a baby. And the baby is promised here. So let's quickly look at the details. Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 9, verse 6. This is given during a really bleak time when it looks like Genesis 3:15 might fail. Just like back in Genesis and like the time of the judges and so on, it looks bad, precarious. The Messiah is hanging by a thread. But Isaiah repeats, "Unto us a child is born." I guess that's probably King James. "For to us a child is born." God renews or reaffirms His promise in Genesis 3:15. "I will give you a child. He will stomp on the head of the serpent, crushing his head." Now, while Jesus is the baby who's going to be born, when he's older, when he steps on the head of the serpent and crushes the head, what happens? Just before the head is crushed, the serpent gets, a bite on the heel of the foot that is going to crush the head. As the foot's coming down to crush the head, there is a bite. And of course, that's an image of Christ's death on the cross. Part of God's eternal plan, of course. Something we desperately need in salvation. To us, second part, a son is given. The baby Jesus is history's greatest gift. Forget the presents under the tree, the wrapping paper, the tinsel, if you like eggnog, whatever, all the trappings that come with Christmas. Forget all that. The cookies for a minute. Christmas is about a baby. It is about Jesus. Every mother here knows how special it is when that baby's born. Fathers, to hold the baby until the diapers, okay? for the fathers at least, until the diapers. The baby, awesome, just wonderful. It's amazing. It's a miracle. Jesus, in God's ultimate wisdom, perfect. I love it. I hear him. All right. Good job, Micah. Okay. So I don't know if the people probably, listening online can't, but we heard him a little bit. So perfect timing. To us, a son is given. The baby Jesus lying in the manger in Bethlehem. It is sweet. It is special. It should be, because that gift was the ultimate gift of a father. to the children that he loves, us, in that he gave his only son. He did what he asked Abraham to do, but then spared Abraham from. God did it. So much imagery going on. Wonderful, wonderful pictures. The government shall be upon his shoulder. This baby would grow up. And what would happen? The weight of all the government would be on his shoulder. I can't think of any other possible interpretation other than this is talking about the millennium. He will come back and he will rule on this earth physically. That hasn't happened yet. That's the second coming. His name shall be called. Okay, so what are the titles that Jesus will bear? First one, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. We should live by the wise words he spoke at his first coming. And we will live by the wise words that he will utter at his second coming. First of his titles. Second title, Mighty God. I mean, if the Bible's anything, one of the grand themes, it's talking about the eternal battle between light and darkness, between God the Father and Satan. You know, the ultimate archangel who turned against him, against God in pride, and rejected him and took one third of the angels who then were cursed and became demons. I mean, it's light and darkness. It's the ultimate battle. And what does the prophecy of the baby say? It says that he will grow up and be the mighty God. Of course, he was always God, even as a baby, and he was mighty the whole time. We're not saying that he wasn't, but he will win the battle of the ages, and he won that battle when he died on the cross. Satan thought he was winning. Ultimately, he lost. All he could do was hurt the heel, and his head was crushed. Next title, Everlasting Father. Like an earthly father, right? Christ will protect and provide for his people. Yes, millennium, but for all eternity. I don't think this is limited to just that time when initially he comes back to earth. No, for all eternity, everlasting Father. And then lastly, Prince of Peace. We're at a Christmas season. We see a lot of things going on in our world. There always are. Don't fret. God's in control. Don't worry about, you know, riots and things like that. Don't let fear and anxiety get out of control. Why? Because of the baby at Christmas, right? He is the Prince of Peace. This is what mankind is always seeking for. Peace, safety, tranquility, happiness. We are unwise to think that sinful human rulers, leaders, even if they're born again, and most aren't, but even if they are, we're unwise to think that they will ever produce utopia on this earth. It won't happen. Okay, but there is one upon whose shoulders ultimately the government will be. And I'm not saying he's not in control now. He can do whatever he wants now. But he is literally going to be the head of all government in the future. And all government will rest upon his shoulders, his authority, and what will happen when he does take control. The desires for peace, tranquility, prosperity, happiness, joy, they'll be very, very real when Christ comes back one day. There really will be a heaven-like new earth someday, and we will live on it forever. Why? Well, next week, you know, a little teaser here. Next week, we're going to be talking about Isaiah 7:14 for just a little bit, and then we'll go to Matthew 1, the Lord willing. And we're going to be talking about not the tracking of the package, but the delivery of the package. Jesus born in a manger. Let's pray. Our Father, we do pray that during this incredible Christmas season, which most, if not all of us, really do enjoy, that we would not lose our focus upon the sweet, dear, precious beyond what words can describe baby who was born so long ago to Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem. It's a story that started thousands of years even before that and came, tracked, pointed to, ultimately was delivered by Mary. And we pray that you'll help me this week now that it's concluded, but next week to deliver a message that would do justice to the delivery of this ultimate gift. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
In closing, number 251, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." 251 in your hymnals. Let's stand and sing together.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth, who touched their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn still this lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above the sad and lonely plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er the pebble sounds the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for God at golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets seen of old, when with the ever circling years shall come the time foretold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors play, and the whole world sends back the song which now the angels sing.
Remember, all of you who are in the program, when you hear the buzzer, please come up here because we need to get started and prepare for tonight for the program. So that'll happen in about 10-15 minutes. Thank you. You are dismissed.